that would like to come up closer, there's still seats here available, because I want you to be able to see as well as hear, which hearing won't be a problem, but it'd be nice if you could see, because I'm going to need some of your help today too. So feel free to come on up. And while you're coming up, we can go ahead and maybe sing a few hymns together. So if you have one that you'd like to sing, just give it out loud. There's some on the back too that are called children's hymns. So if you're more familiar with those, that's fine. Does anyone have one? If I'm not looking at you, just go ahead and shout it out. Okay.
Number 5,
okay. I think what we'll do is we'll sing the first and the last verses of these hymns that you give out, if that's okay. So number 5. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my... another one for us to sing this morning.
Four?
Okay. All right. That's a nice one too. Christ is the
Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free.
Boys and girls, maybe for sake of time, we'll sing one more, and then we'll get started. And if we have time at the end of the the time that's designated for this meeting, we'll sing some more. So who has one more to finish up with for now? What was the number? 42. Thank you. Want to stand and sing this one? Why don't all you kids stand? The rest of us can sit. I'll stand. Number 42. A little child of seven. For a minute here, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us in our little time together. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for these precious hymns that point the way to the Lord Jesus so simply, point the way to salvation through the work of Calvary's cross and His precious blood that was shed there. We just thank Thee for that mighty work. We thank Thee for so loving this world that Thou didst send Thine only begotten Son. And so we just ask for Thy help now as we have a little time together. We just pray that there might be something that would be impressed on each of our souls, our hearts. Especially we pray for the dear boys and girls here. And we just ask our Father, if there happens to be someone here that's reached that age of responsibility and has not yet made a decision for Christ, has not yet accepted Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, as their own personal Savior, we just pray that Thou would cause something to be said that would stir their conscience and their heart to want to come to Him. We pray for Thy help and look to Thee independence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's customary for us to say a verse if you'd like to, and we'll try and do that now at this time. I know the memory verse in the Messages of Love was Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. Part of it was highlighted, but I'll read the whole portion they have here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. If anyone would like to say the verse, I will turn this on and we can hear you that way. So would anyone like to? Okay, Landon, good.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, go down here.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
All right, that's good. Thank you.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give each one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Did I see your hand, or were you just waving? Okay. Would you like to say any verse? You want to hold this? And you can stand up, and then they can see you.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor father, mother, for this is the first commandment, promise. Ephesians 6:1-2.
Very good. Thank you. I know it's kind of scary up here, isn't it, to say your verse in front of so many. You did good, though. Thank you. How about any of you kids? Okay, Emily. I'm going to let you hold it, okay?
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, says the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Very good. Thank you. Did I miss anyone else in this section here? Okay.
Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Plead for the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Isaiah 1:16.
Thank you. Okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Thank you, Courtney. Would you like to say it? You want to stand up, too?
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give each one according to the his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You did extra, too, so.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Thank you, Maddie. Very nice. Okay, let's see. Anybody else down here? All right, let's go over here. Any of you girls like to say a verse? Just go like this if you'd like to. Well, okay. We'll give you another chance maybe at the end. How about down here? Okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Thank you. Very good. All right. Anybody else in this row? I have a pretty good idea that most of you know it, but I know it's a little hard.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Very nice. Thank you. Okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
Thank you, Anne. Okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10.
Okay, thank you. All right, would you like to say it?
I, the Lord, search the heart. And
do you know what? You can help him, Earl. I should know it myself. Did you just learn to the end of that? That was the end of that in the paper.
And the water.
It started out, the heart is deceitful above all things. Is that what you learned?
The heart is deceitful of all things.
And desperately
wicked.
Who can know it?
Who can know it?
I'll say the part you said. I, the Lord.
I, the Lord.
That's right. Search the heart.
Search the heart.
And then, if you stop there, as it did in the paper, it was found in Jeremiah. Do you remember that? Jeremiah 17?
19.
9 through 10. 10.
14.
Thank you very much. How about, okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah
17, 9, and 10.
Thank you very much. Very good. All right. Thank you, boys and girls, for... Oh, okay.
The heart is deceitful.
Above all things.
Above all things.
And desperately.
And desperately wicked.
I, the Lord. I'm sorry. Who can know it? Was that the end of that?
But I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9, 10?
9 and 10. Good. Thank you very much. You girls, you getting braver? Okay, that's fine. Anybody else that I might have missed? Okay.
Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 1:17.
Thank you. All right. Very good. You kids did very well. All right. Well, I want to just mention at the beginning here of our time that I have two burdens for you boys and girls. And my heaviest burden is if there would be anyone here sitting up here or perhaps somewhere else in the room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's my heaviest burden right now for you. The other one is that those of you that have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you would go on in your lives day by day and that you would live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus. So those are my two burdens for you, boys and girls, this morning. Number one, if anyone is unsaved, that they would be saved. And then that all of you that are the Lord's would go on to please Him in your lives. I want to start out with a verse in the book of the Psalms. And this is Psalm 139. And these are the words of King David. We're very familiar with this verse because we repeat this verse to one another quite often. At least part of the verse. And the verse I want to read is verse 14. I will praise thee. This is what David is saying to the Lord, to Jehovah. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Well, I was just thinking of that verse, boys and girls, and thinking about how true that is, that we have a body that the Lord has given us that is fearfully and wonderfully made. And it never ceases to amaze us when we hear new things about how the body functions. And I really don't know that much about it. But one thing that we talk about sometimes, and that's what my subject this morning is going to be about, we talk about what we call five senses. Five senses that have to do with our bodies. And I'm not going to try and... I'm going to try and be very simple because that's how I understand it myself. But I guess I would say that senses are the way in our bodies react to certain things. And sometimes we hear the expression that someone has a keen sense of smell, let's say, or someone else has a keen sense of hearing. And what that means is that they hear very well or they smell very well. They can maybe pick up things that someone else wouldn't pick up. Like they say, do you smell smoke? And you say, no, I don't smell any smoke. And, oh, yeah, I can smell smoke. Maybe you're walking along somewhere, and pretty soon you see some smoke in the air. Say, oh, yeah, okay, I knew I could smell smoke. So this is the Lord has created such a wonderful thing as these senses, and I believe, and others could probably verify this, that we have more than five senses. But we commonly talk about five senses, and we're going to just take up those five. We could refer to them as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Okay? So sight, sound, smelling, tasting, and touching is another way to say it. You maybe have heard, learned those in school, those five senses that we possess. And you know, when any one of those senses doesn't work properly, it affects us, doesn't it? Yeah, it affects our body. And our body is amazing. It can compensate for some of those senses that we might be missing, or maybe one of them isn't working very well, or more than one of them. And our body can compensate for that in a wonderful way. And many have. But it would be very difficult if you didn't have those senses, because your body is so dependent on those to alert you to things. So these senses are sending messages to our brain that maybe warns us of danger. Maybe it warns us of many things. And so we can react. We can do something about it. And so I just wanted to take these up, if I could, in a spiritual way more. I just want to make it simple, and I have some object lessons here to help us with this, because I think it's so important for us to realize the importance of these senses that control our body in a natural way. And I want to look at it too, because I believe that whether you're unsaved, and I trust you aren't, I hope some of what we have today here will speak to you. And if you are the Lord's, if you are saved, you know we have an enemy named Satan that wants to hinder us from being living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And he will, as we'll see in our little illustration here, he will do whatever he can to keep us, to keep these senses, we'll call them, from functioning properly or working. So I would like to have help from a boy here that would be willing for me to put a cloth over his eyes. We call it a blindfold. So if one of you boys would be willing to help me, I would put a blindfold over your eyes. Is that all right? Okay? And I won't let you get hurt or anything like that, okay? I'll help you out. So let me get something out of here. And so this is the one that is dealing with sight. And oh, how important and how much we value our sight. Now I'm going to just put that over there like that. And you let me know if you can't see very well. Is it pretty dark? Okay, good. That's what we wanted. All right, so what's your name?
Teddy.
Teddy. Okay, thank you, Teddy, for helping. So Teddy has a blindfold on, and now what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Teddy a question, and then we're going to demonstrate something here. Teddy, do you like gummy bears?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got some gummy bears here that I'm going to bring out, and I want you to have a package of these gummy bears, but the problem is you're going to have to find it, okay? So I will kind of lead you around, and what I want you kids to do, you other boys and girls, I want you to help Teddy, okay? I want you to help him find these gummy bears that I'd like to give him. So You can just tell him where to go. I'm going to kind of lead him too, so he doesn't bump into things. But you just tell him. You don't have to raise your hand. You just say, you need to go over here, or you need to come this way to get to these gummy bears. Okay, so you go ahead and you begin to instruct Teddy where to go. All right? Go ahead. Just tell him. Help him out. They said to go straight. Well, that didn't help a lot, did it? Okay, keep helping him. You're hearing lots of voices, aren't you, Teddy? You speak loud so he can hear you. Keep telling him. They said go right, someone said left, someone said turn around. Very good, Teddy. Were you having a little trouble?
Mm-hmm.
How come?
I can't see.
You can't see. All right. All right. Well, you know what? You were never very far from him. You can go ahead and pull that off. You were never very far from him. The problem was I kept moving him on you. So you were getting close, and some of them were directing you, but then they were you were hearing different voices. And you know what it reminded me of, is, boys and girls, is that... this world has lots of... You can sit down now, thank you. But I'm going to give you a bag of these, okay? Thank you for your help. The world has lots of voices, and people are going to say, come this way. And you're going to see this more and more as you get older. This is the way to come. You're going to have a lot of fun here. This is going to be the best for you to do this. I've got just the right idea for you. You're going to hear lots of voices like that. But it's going to be a lot of confusion. So what is it that we need to get direction for in our lives? I know you're young, but you're here at Sunday school. You're hearing the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell us about this? Let's look at a verse in Isaiah 45. And I've got it written down here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. But if the reference is Isaiah 45 and verse 22. And this is what I'm going to apply it in a gospel sense. I'm going to make an application here. The verse says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." That's it, boys and girls. There's only one way to be saved. It's to look to the Lord. Do you remember the story of Israel in the wilderness and how they complained and murmured against Moses and against the Lord? And they were making accusations about being brought into the wilderness to die in the wilderness, that's what Moses was doing. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and it bit them, and it said many, many people, much of the people died. And so Moses was told by the Lord to take a serpent, make a fiery serpent, kind of like, just like it looked like the serpents that were biting them, and put it on a pole. So he took brass and he made a serpent of brass. Brass speaks of judgment in the Word of God. And he was told to put that snake, that serpent, on a pole and lift it up. And anyone that had been bitten of a serpent, of one of those fiery serpents, could look to that pole, and they could live. They could not, they would keep them from dying. What a beautiful picture it is of the Lord Jesus lifted up on Calvary's cross. He is the only way of salvation. But you're going to hear lots of voices that there's other ways. No. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. We have to look to Him. We have to look to the Lord Jesus in faith. Okay. That was our first one, and we won't take the time, but there's a beautiful story about a man named Bartimaeus, and he asked the Lord asked him a question, I should say, and I want one of you to give the answer that the Lord gave him. The Lord said to him, the Lord asked him a question, and then you give me Bartimaeus' answer. The Lord said to him, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" So here's Bartimaeus. He's blind. He can't see. And he hears the Lord's coming. He throws off his coat. And he goes and stands, falls down before the Lord. And the Lord says, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" What did he say?
"Lord, that I may receive my sight."
Could you hear her? "Lord, thank you. Lord, that I may receive my sight. That's what I would desire for anyone here, any of you boys or girls that haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior. All you have to do is call out in faith. You can do it in your heart. You can cry out, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Own that you're a sinner, and he will save you. He longs to do that for you. And what a day that was for Bartimaeus to cast off that old coat. I understand that coat kind of marked him as a blind man. He didn't need that anymore. He threw it aside, and he followed the Lord. I think it's a beautiful story. Well, we could take much more time, but we won't. Now we're going to go to the next one. The next one is hearing or sound. I'm going to ask a girl to help me. Who would be willing to help me with this one? Any of you girls? Would you like to help? Okay. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, and if you don't want to do it, I understand. I've got these things. Well, I'll show you. I've got these things called earmuffs, and these are for wearing when you're doing noisy things like running the lawnmower or a chainsaw or something like that. I've disinfected them, so they're clean. Would you mind putting these on? You wouldn't mind? Okay, what's your name?
Hannah.
Anne?
Hannah.
Hannah? Okay, Hannah. Thank you for being willing. I'm going to put these on you, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions, okay? All right, so let's go ahead, and you can stand up here so they can see. And I'm going to try and adjust these there. All right, so, okay, you just stand there, and I'm going to ask her some questions. How old are you, Anna?
Six.
Ooh, she can... My goodness. Maybe she's a lip reader. What's your favorite color, Anna? Okay, we'll ask her another question. Are you having a happy time at the conference?
Yeah.
Have you met any new friends at the conference? All right. I'll ask her two more questions. I'm going to ask it quieter because my voice is being so amplified. The same questions, all right? You can stand up again just for a minute. How old are you?
Six.
Six. Okay, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay, that's the one we didn't hear when I asked you. All right, and I asked if you were having a happy time at the conference.
Yes.
And I asked if you had met any new friends.
Yes.
And if you like gummy bears.
Yes.
All right, good. Was it a lot easier this time after we took those out? You couldn't hear?
I could hear.
You could hear? Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I didn't compensate for the amplified voice. My voice is being made louder. And I actually thought this morning that maybe I should get some of those earplugs and put them in first and then put those on. But anyway, the point is, boys and girls, that Hannah was having a hard time hearing everything. You know, it says in John chapter 5 and verse 24, that beautiful verse that we probably all know by heart. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I'm going to start a verse and someone else finish it. It's in Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by... Who can finish it? Faith cometh by... Anybody want to finish it?
Hearing.
Did somebody say yeah? You know? Okay.
Hearing.
Okay, and then what is the rest of the verse? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing...
And hearing cometh by...
What's this? What's this?
Words.
The word
of God.
The word of God. Thank you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Very good. Okay, let's move on. We're going to move on to smell. And again, I'm going to ask another girl to help with this, if we could. This one's a little bit harder, but I think we can get the idea anyway. All right, who would like to help me? Okay, would you like to help me? So what I'm going to do, what's your name?
Evangeline.
Evangeline? Okay. All right, Evangeline, if you want to stand up here. I'm going to try and put this mostly just over your nose. It might hang a little bit over your mouth, but I want you to be able to breathe. So you adjust it how you want. But we just want to, and it might cover your eyes a little bit. I hope that doesn't bother you too much. Now, let me, is that tight enough? Okay. All right. So now, while she's doing that, I want to turn us to an account in John chapter 13 about Mary. And you probably know where I'm going with this. And I'm only going to read, actually, in John chapter 12. I'm only going to read a few verses here. Jesus, 6 days, verse 1 of John 12, before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What a beautiful story that is. So as has often been said to us, and I think it's so precious, is that first the ointment that Mary poured out was placed on the Lord Jesus, and then it says here that she wiped his feet with her hair, so now it's on Mary. And then it says the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Isn't that wonderful? And so I actually brought some. I think this was spikenard. Now, I don't know if the spikenard that we have here is the same. Probably not. But this came from Israel, this little box of spikenard. And I'm going to ask Evangeline if she can smell it. You can smell it a little bit? All right. Yeah, it's strong, but you can smell it. Okay. I thought maybe you wouldn't smell it at all. But and I probably won't take the time to go around to every child, but if you want to after, you can certainly get a whiff of this spikenard. Anyway, it was in Mary's case, it was costly, and she loved the Lord so much, she poured it all out on him. Wasn't that something? What a sacrifice she made. So, okay. All right. Well, let's just keep hustling along here, and we'll let you all get a... Sorry, I'm going so fast. Okay. All right. See, did I get you, Emily? Yeah? No? Okay. Okay. All right. Doesn't it smell nice? Yeah. Really nice. Okay. You can sit down now. Thank you very much. And I don't think I didn't give you any, did I? So I'll give you a pack for helping me, and you a pack. And the rest of you kids can have some too afterwards. I did want to look at a verse real quickly in Genesis chapter 8. Who can tell me the first time that we have a mention of odor or smell, or sometimes it's called a savor, which is another word for odor, I guess. What's the first time it's mentioned in the Word of God? Who can think of it? I gave you a big hint because I told you where it was. But that may not have helped you a whole lot. Does someone know what it's about in Genesis 8? Okay, I'll tell you, because we are our time keeps ticking by. It's when Noah came off of the ark with his family, and we're told there in verse 20 that Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Isn't that nice? And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. I'll stop right there. Another beautiful picture to us, boys and girls, of that which was yet future, when the Lord Jesus would offer himself up to God, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, he offered himself, I'll read the verse, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, what a wonderful sacrifice the Lord made. And, you know, it says that that expression, sweet-smelling savor, or those words in the original language are used one other place in the New Testament, and it's in connection with giving. Giving in a sacrificial way. Did you boys know that, and girls, that if you give something and you do it for the Lord Jesus, and it's something that maybe costs you something, not necessarily money, but it might be your time or it might be something else, that he looks at that as a sweet-smelling savor. I'll just read the verse because it's so beautiful, and we've heard it many times, but it's in Philippians chapter 4. And it says, Paul's speaking, and he says, I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What a beautiful thing it is when we give willingly from our hearts. And the enemy of our souls would want us, like I said, in all of these things, the enemy has a way to counterfeit it. He wants us to be stingy or to do just the opposite of what the Lord would have us to do. Okay, I'm going to call on you again, Evangeline. I should have just left this on you. If you don't mind standing up one more time. We're going to now go to the sense of taste, and I'm going to just put it over your mouth, okay? So, like that. Now, okay. Now, so she's got that covering over her mouth, which is going to make it hard for her to taste. Because I was going to open up one of these, which I will, and I was going to offer her a gummy. But you can't put it under there. You're not going to be able to eat it, are you? You're not going to be able to taste it. No. You know, boys and girls, we have an enemy, and if how would it be if we left that on you at noontime when we're having a meal? Would that be good? No, it wouldn't be nice, would it? You can take it off now. Thank you. We have an enemy that wants to keep us from tasting what God has for us. You know, it says in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man that trusteth in him." What a wonderful thing it is to be able to taste. I've got two verses I jotted down here. One is Psalm 119, 103. And that's another beautiful psalm. Psalm 119, 103. And it says there, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And then we have one more in the Song of Solomon. And that one is in chapter 2, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 3. "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." This is kind of the language of, sometimes we refer to her as the bride, and she's speaking about her bridegroom, and she's saying, "He's sweet to my taste. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Have we tasted to see that the Lord is good? He wants to prove to you in your lives, boys and girls, that he is good. May we trust him in that. We've got one more, and we've got just a few minutes. And so I want to talk now about this sense of touch. And I'm going to ask Landon, would you be willing to help me? Okay, because I know Landon well, and he'll forgive me if need be. But Landon, I've got something I want to put on you. Have you ever in your life been tied up? Maybe in fun, tied up, or okay, or had handcuffs put on you? Okay. All right. I thought about bringing rope and tying you up, but I had these laying around for some reason. Some time ago, we were playing with them. So I'm going to put these on you. If you just put your hands behind your back, I'm going to stick these handcuffs on you. All righty. Okay. They're on there pretty snug. Now, Landon, if I was to ask you to reach out and touch me, you're going to have a little hard time, aren't you? You're pretty good. What if I asked you to give me a hug? Not so easy, huh? Would it be okay if we left those on you for the day? We'll make sure that somebody feeds you at lunchtime. Wouldn't be very nice, isn't it? Would it? You know, and I do have a key. I hope it's in there, Landon. You know, boys and girls, Satan loves to put shackles on people, even boys and girls, and keep them shackled and in bondage. And there's a story about a woman that was bowed down with infirmity for, I think it was 18 years, and she couldn't even lift up her head. And the Lord healed her on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes, they said, you shouldn't do that on the Sabbath. And he calls them hypocrites because they would very quickly take their animals and water them, or if their animal fell in the ditch, they would get them out of the ditch. And he said, why shouldn't this woman who's the daughter of Abraham and has been in bondage by Satan, he uses that expression, for 18 years be loosed, and the Lord looses her. And she can stand up straight. What a wonderful thing. There's another story, too, in connection with the woman that reached out in faith. And Landon was having a hard time reaching out. You know, she reached out in faith, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. She had an infirmity for 12 years, and just that touch of faith saved her. Boys and girls, the Lord wants you to be freed from your bondage, and it tells us in John chapter 8, I think it is, and maybe verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, how does it go the rest of it? You want to tell us the rest?
You shall be free indeed.
Say it again.
You shall be free indeed.
That's right. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, Landon, we're not going to leave you in this condition. The Lord Jesus is the only one, boys and girls, that can deliver us from bondage. And it's through his work on the cross. So we're going to set Landon free here. And then we're going to close. All right. Thank you for being a good sport, Landon. You can take one of those packages. I was going to say, you might have to have one of them on. All right, there we go. Thank you. Okay, boys and girls, I hope you understood what we are trying to illustrate here, how that you have an enemy that wants to use our senses that the Lord has given us for our enjoyment and for his pleasure, too, from us. The enemy wants to block those. But I would encourage you all to use your senses, your sight, your seeing, your hearing, your smelling, your tasting, your touch for the Lord's glory. Let's pray. Loving God and our Father, we just pray that thou would exercise each one of us concerning what we've had before us. We thank thee for that mighty work. We thank thee for such a precious Savior, such a tremendous gift that thou didst give. We thank thee for his finished work at the cross. In Jesus' precious and worthy name, amen.